Hello, welcome to the Twin Perspectives podcast series, run by travel bloggers Twins That Travel. That's us,
Claire
and Laura.
Tune in for regular discussions about our latest travels, interviews and life more generally.
Happy listening.
Bye.
This is some unknown episode of some unknown series of the Twin Perspectives podcast series.
This is the second time that we've recorded this podcast. We did try maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, we actually recorded the whole thing. I think it was an hour long.
Yeah, it was an hour long podcast on our January adventures.
But we, well, two things. One, we were really ill and I didn't hear it back. But Claire, you said that we sounded
awful. We sounded so bad. We sounded like pigs.
So it made people feel sick.
It just sounded snotty, coughy, at times suddenly very husky and slightly sexy.
But
then it would go back to a nasal sound.
Yeah.
And I just listened back and I felt like it wasn't our best in terms of energy levels.
Was it not?
No. We'd had flu.
And also I think we had a little bit of problems with our new mics, which we've now rectified.
There's so many people out there lives.
That I see start a podcast, and I saw a picture and they had mics, headphones, these little booths and stuff, and I just thought, oh god, we only just get these, wheel these two mics out.
Yeah, but we are progressing. We've got two mics now and headphones.
Well, I've got a pair of headphones that Claire hasn't, so
but we've ordered them now.
I can hear sort of ourselves back and Claire can't, but they should be arriving.
Yeah, next week we've ordered some.
So anyway, long story short is that we scrapped it. And we then need to start again.
And then left it 2 weeks. And then left it. So Laura came around my house at 10:30 to record the podcast. It's now 5:10 and we've just sat down to record the podcast.
And to throw a spanner in the works, I've now got braces, well, Invisalign braces. And Claire's also getting, because she's a copycat.
No.
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Uh-huh. You're getting braces in like a couple of weeks.
I'm actually just getting a top set for 12 weeks.
Okay, well, half a brace.
So I'm getting half a brace. And I wouldn't say it's a brace. I'd just basically say it's a retainer.
So we'll be lisping away.
Hello, my Kenneth Claire.
Podcast. I'm actually doing quite well.
I don't know whether I wonder if we listen to it back, you can hear a lot of spitty sounds from you.
Well, in my headphones, I can't hear any spitting at the moment.
Okay. So, yeah, we're trying again with this podcast, and it's called January Adventures.
So lame.
Because in January, we went on some travels. So we thought we'd chat about that. I actually kind of prefer doing the podcasts that aren't destination specific, but sometimes I think that we've had really good travels and they're worth talking about. And I think these two are definitely worth talking about.
Yeah, and I think there's like some stories that happened along the way and behind it that we can believe in.
I don't remember them.
I'll make some up. We can make up. So, yeah, our last adventure was to Germany, actually, in December, end of last year.
Oh, sorry, before these travels, yes.
Yeah, end of last year, we went to Monschau and Aachen.
Aachen, sorry. Where it transpires, I've had a speeding fine.
Can I just say though, because I've got a feeling you're going to try and make me go halves with you.
No.
It had absolutely nothing to do with me.
But I wasn't speeding though, was I? I was just behind a car.
You denied it as soon as you saw the flash go off. When I was in Australia, I got a speeding fine.
What? Again, right? You've started recently to, about that story you told about the candle in the chalet.
Oh, right. Not the recent chalet.
Not the recent chalet, but you've started to tell these stories that you've never told before.
I've suppressed them, but I definitely got a speeding ticket because I remember I denied it and they sent a photo of me in my car and I could just see my head.
In Australia?
Yeah.
You were driving?
Yeah.
What happened to it?
Oh, I got a speeding ticket.
You did?
Yeah.
How much?
I said no and then they sent me a picture and it was clearly me at the wheel.
Like, how much?
I can't remember, but it's in Australian dollars, which means it's a pittance.
So anyway, I'm waiting to either get like a small fine of like 30 euros or I'm off to a German prison. So, you know.
Well, when I got a speeding fine in England, I just went on that speed awareness course.
Yeah, I think you just have to pay 30 euros in Germany. They're a bit more lax.
Do you know what? I'd rather that. I was patronised for an entire day. Although everything
No,
it
obviously
said,
wasn't patronised because you needed to learn
no,
how to speed.
No, and it was really important and I learned some important home truths, but it was the way that the guy relished in the punishment
of us all.
You were here.
Power trip.
And there was a lot of passive-aggressive people there who just couldn't.
Absolute power trip.
I aced my test at the end. I got 10 out of 10.
You're still speeding.
Why are you looking at my mouth every time I talk?
I'm not, sorry.
You are, and you've done it all day.
Okay, you're
looking at them now. Stop it.
Sorry.
Your
teeth are absolutely fine. Anyway, sorry, where are we?
January. Our last trip was in December. We went to Aachen and Monschau. Claire got a speeding ticket here, and then we had a lovely break over Christmas.
We had about 3.5 weeks off.
Yeah, and we caught up on quite a lot of blog posts. Well, I did.
No, I did some.
You wrote one. I wrote quite a few blog posts, which are now up, and we just sort of faffed around, didn't we?
We just rested, really, because like we said, September to December was quite crazy.
And then an email had come in last September from P&O Cruises, and it was inviting us to go to Norway, which is probably my favourite country. I love Norway. And to experience the fjords. And rather than actually taking a P&O cruise, you experience the activities and excursions offered by P&O. But sadly, really annoyingly, we couldn't make it. And
I was in Bologna.
Claire was away. Our good friend Monica from the Travel Hack went instead. And yeah. I was very, very jealous because it looked amazing. So we said no to that and we're really sad. And then thankfully, thanking our lucky stars, at the end of last year, was it?
Yep, it was quite a quick turnaround actually. It was towards the end of last year, yeah.
They emailed and said, but would you like to come and experience a Caribbean cruise aboard a P&O cruise ship?
In January. And I said, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about this at length in our podcast and I keep thinking people heard it. The aborted one.
Oh, right. Sorry.
When we got the invite initially, I think the first thing we thought was what a lot of young people think is cruising really for me?
Yeah. Is it going to be Jane McDonald, karaoke, bingo?
Come fly with me.
Ah, jazz hands. Yeah, that's what we thought.
Well, I probably just assumed in a way it was for an older generation and that cruising is something you do when you're kind of a bit nervous or
retired.
I don't know, or just can't be bothered really to kind of go on these mad adventures on your own.
Or, you know, you're less mobile and you need something a bit gentler.
Absolutely. And you really want just a secure, safe and guaranteed way to see the world. So it wasn't that I had necessarily thought cruising was a bad way to travel. I think it was more that cruising just wasn't necessarily...
It wasn't ready for our time of life yet.
No, it was like getting your pension. We would draw it down in a few decades.
A few years, Christ, Laura. A few decades. Yeah, so that's what we presumed. But, you know, like, it was the Caribbean in January. We were going to go around quite a few of the Caribbean islands that we haven't visited before.
Yeah.
And I think we just wanted to experience it ourselves so we could say, actually, what is it like to go on a cruise when you're in your early 30s?
Because I think we were both a bit, not hesitant, but we wondered, for example, would we actually see any of these islands? Was it more like we'd cruise past it in this town, or we'd be like, to your left, it's Grenada, and we'd all look
quickly to your right, St. Lucia.
Yeah, and, you know, was the accommodation nice? What would the food be like, a beige buffet? Was the entertainment kind of cheesy?
Would we get seasick? Would there be norovirus?
And what do you do on your sea days, which, you know, effectively when you don't port anywhere, you're just entirely at sea all
bobbing
day.
Along in the sea, yeah.
Would that drive us mad and make us panicky and have a panic attack and die?
So we obviously had a lot of thoughts. You can see you've got a phone call there.
A spam caller, it says. Some people that call me.
That's interesting that it identifies that as spam.
Yeah, smart.
So, yeah, we agreed. We said, yes, sign us up to... It was actually quite a quick trip in the end. It was Monday to Saturday. We flew to St. Lucia, which we visited before.
I love St. Lucia.
I would go back. I would say it's my favourite Caribbean island.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, yeah, so we flew to St. Lucia. We got a cheeky upgrade to Virgin Upper Class.
Yeah, thank you very much to Mr. Grindle.
Kelly Grindle, thank you.
I wasn't going to out his name.
Why?
Sure, people might try and email him for an upgrade.
Ah, nah. Good luck with that. So we flew Virgin Upper Class, which was amazing. So we arrived kind of late afternoon
Should we tell the story about the upgrade? Because I guess we've now, you know, just suddenly started into our January adventures. But so we always, I mean, Claire, you were a bit more nervous about flying long haul again this time, weren't you?
I always am nervous about flying long haul. No, I'm never not nervous about flying long haul.
Yeah, I was less nervous for some reasons, but because I think the 8 hours to me has become like a bit of a short, not a short haul, but a mid haul trip. So anyway, we arrived at the airport and we knew that we were on the available only upgrade list.
Available only upgrade list.
Which basically means if there's an upgrade available and you're towards the top of the list, because there's other people on there, punters.
Yeah, no, it's mainly staff.
Yeah, and staff's family members.
Yeah.
Then you get upgraded. So we arrived and we checked in and we were both like sweating and I was staring at the woman like...
We should say this has happened before as well on the same flight.
We've had it twice actually. And I thought this like siren and klaxon's going to go off over our
head. Confetti was going to land.
No, you've got your upgrade. And she checked us in and then nothing happened. And the lady went next to her, oh wait, but look, what's come up? Do you know what that means? And I thought, this is it. She's going to say. And I said, does it mean an upgrade? She was like, no. It just means you can use the lounge.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
But that was good because the lounge, the Virgin Atlantic...
Amazing.
...club lounge is beautiful.
And
really
especially,
nice.
Like, early morning, you've got a long flight ahead of you. You're taken out of the throngs of crowds
it's just
in
really
Gatwick
relaxed,
Airport and popped in a lovely little sort of sanctuary.
Yeah, and there's kind of table service, lovely food that they bring to you. There was a PlayStation and like a pool table and stuff.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, that was enough for me, and I thought we were flying premium, so I was really happy anyway. Yeah,
so we had some breakfast there, and I was feeling really chilled actually by that point, mm-hmm. and really happy. And then we got up to leave. It was time to go, and I was letting the upper class dream just slip.
Yeah.
And then this lady came running over. I mean, I didn't see her. You saw her.
Yeah.
She came running over and she said something which I didn't catch. And you looked like you'd either won the lottery or
someone had died.
BAFTA.
Yeah. Well, she just said, oh, ladies, there's been a last minute change and we've got two very special seats for you.
Yeah. And then we were like,
Francesca, who does our nails, said that you said, I kissed her. Lie. You went straight in with a hug for her.
I said, please, may I give you a hug?
I love you.
I didn't say that.
I think you did.
So we squeezed her and then it was all very exciting. And
everyone, and then off we pounced.
And everyone else in the upper class, she was flying upper class, like, who are those?
Oh, you can tell they're new.
Yeah, they're poor.
So yeah, we got to fly the 8 hours to St. Lucia in absolute luxury. And I would have stayed on for longer because there's a lot of films I still wanted to watch.
Yeah, I was in a lovely area. I fell asleep. And when I woke up, the lady had tucked me in with a big duvet.
Big quilt, yeah.
Oh, it was just lovely.
I actually got seated next to a lady who really liked to talk. So I did spend quite a few hours catching up on her life.
Well, because there's Wi-Fi there, I also kept texting Claire things like gutted and ha ha ha.
Do you like my seat?
Yeah.
Anyway, we made it to St. Lucia.
And the P&O cruise awaited.
Yeah, so we collected really quickly from the airport.
Yeah.
And taken straight down to the port. And I think it was already kind of like 4 p.m. by this point. So we literally, thank God we've been to St. Lucia before, because we didn't see St. Lucia.
We drove straight to Castries, its main port, which we've actually been to before. Mm-hmm. And we kind of rounded the corner and there was the ship, which the ship we were cruising on was called the Azura. And I know that cruise ships are big. I know this.
But I've never seen one up close, and it was absolutely mind-bogglingly huge.
I mean, it cast a shadow across the streets, I felt. Yeah. It was absolutely enormous. And we were because we were actually joining a little bit late because we'd been to a christening the day before, we didn't get to experience the full onboarding experience.
No.
But from what I know is that, because I imagine it to be hell, basically hell on earth, long, long queues, lots of tired people wanted to get aboard. You actually boarded in batches, so you can arrive at a different time to the port and get on at
so there's not
times.
Really any queues. And I mean, we didn't have any queue at all, but there was a sort of awkward moment in which they thought that we were the
dancers
and entertainment arriving, so you had to sort of explain that.
Yeah, this guy came and said, oh, you must be the dancers. And for a minute, I thought he meant like exotic dancers, like we were going to start a lap dance. But that wasn't true. But he was a lovely man and he showed us on board. So we literally just went
boarded
straight on.
Boarded so fast.
Got our cruise cards, which you just have your photo taken. And then each time you leave and get back on, you just scan the card to say, I'm here.
Just like a hotel, really. You know, you've got a hotel room
key
and you get on and off.
Went to reception and got on. And then literally within a couple of minutes, we sailed away from St. Lucia.
Just as we just got into our cabin, we had some champagne, went onto the balcony, and there was a big blow of the horn. Is that...
Brrr.
I don't know if that's weird to say. And
I don't think that's a euphemism, Claire, that anyone uses.
And I think it is.
Blow of the horn.
And then off we set already. So we set, waved goodbye to St. Lucia very fast. But I was just so excited at this point because it was warm.
You know when you've been in January and it's grey at home, and England was rubbish in January, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It still is. And just to get into that Caribbean sunshine.
I was so happy. So yeah, off we sailed. I can't actually remember what we did that night. Oh, no, we had a lovely dinner.
We did. So the first thing I thought when I arrived inside the ship was it was absolutely enormous, obviously on the outside, but inside it was a bit of a labyrinth.
Like,
I think
I thought we're never going to find our way anywhere.
Yeah, initially I was thinking, oh God, it's going to take like an hour to get to the swimming pool to dinner. And we walked inside. It was a beautiful big atrium and there was like a shopping mall, which blew my tiny mind. Yeah. I love shopping. There was a shopping mall.
I keep hearing a little squeaky sound.
Is it my braces?
I think it's the chair, your chair moving around.
I can't hear that inside my headphones.
Okay.
There was a Costa there as well.
Yeah, Costa,
there was
a library.
A library, which I loved the library. Being a geek, it was just
a really nice, relaxing place
to be. So we sat in the atrium and then found our way to our cabin. Well, actually, we went the wrong way for about half an hour.
And then went all the way back again.
All the way back and went to our cabin. And again, we weren't sure what to expect from the accommodation.
No, I imagined some sort of tiny cell dark cell.
Well, I described it like the Titanic, like we'd kind of have a porthole, but it'd be filled up with water.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be all choppy and we'd cold be like outside.
Glugging around.
And we'd see like dead fish floating past the window. I don't know why I thought that. We'd be in the, you know, the bowels of the ship.
Positive in, thinking.
And it's just like, I mean, it's pretty anticlimax. It was basically just like a hotel room.
Yeah, lovely hotel room. Plenty of sort of almost like a big dressing area space to hang all your clothes. And
yeah, there was a bathroom with White Company bits and bobs, which yeah. I was really impressed by. Love White Company.
Yeah, a lovely dressing area. And then we had a twin room with a balcony. So, I mean, that was the best bit. I would definitely say we saw some rooms which were the, what do you call them? The ones just without wind, without balconies, basically.
Pocket-friendly rooms.
The pocket-friendly rooms. I did see them. I mean, you're not in your room all that much. If you want to save money, go in them. But I really felt like the balcony made the cruise in many ways because you could see the sunrises, you could see the sunsets.
Well, you can get rooms with windows but no balconies. Yeah. Or you can get rooms that are inside the ship that have no windows and no balconies. No, so, I think the ones inside without a window or balcony, for me, I find them a bit claustrophobic. But at the same time,
I have a friend who stayed in one and he didn't care. He said, I was barely in the room.
Yeah, if it's just somewhere to rest your head, because there is so much to do on the ship, you're barely in your room
and
anyway,
off the ship, obviously.
Then absolutely fine. But the balcony for us, I think it was lovely. We had two reclining deck chairs on it.
Yeah.
And on that first night, the sun was coming down and we went and sat on the balcony and just watched St. Lucia kind of, you know, pass away into the distance. And it was just, it's a really nice experience, actually.
And again, it's so relaxing, you know, you're not, you once you're in your hotel room, you're not, even though you're going to go to like five different Caribbean islands over that week, you're not going to change hotel room again, you can really settle down and just know that the only thing you've got to do in order to get anywhere is kind of go to sleep that night and you'll wake up somewhere new in the morning.
Yeah, and another, this is a really tiny detail, but it had British plug sockets as well, which just took a lot of stress away. Yeah,
it's a British ship.
And we had some champagne in our room, chocolates, lots of water,
yeah,
a fridge, bits and bobs in it, a TV.
Desk area.
TV with BBC and ITV, which meant I actually bizarrely ended up watching EastEnders that night.
I miss it already. I generally really loved this trip.
And so, yeah, our room. We were talking about accommodation aboard cruise ships the other day with a friend, and they had been in a slightly upgraded ship. We were aboard the Azura, and their accommodation was slightly newer. Ours wasn't brand new. In fact, it's going to be refurbished next year, I understand, the rooms. But at the same time, it was cosy and inviting in a nice way. Like, I like...
Yeah, I liked that, rather than sort of sterile and really modern.
Yeah, sometimes that makes me feel, like, weirdly homesick. But having a room that kind of reminds me of, like, a British hotel... Yeah. I really liked it.
I loved it. I would say accommodation-wise, we got so many questions about the cabin size.
So big, it's, honestly.
It's literally no different to being in a normal hotel room.
It's bigger than some hotel rooms because we had the dressing area.
Yeah, and you've got a view. You get to go out on a balcony and you're watching Caribbean islands float past.
Yeah.
So in terms of accommodation, I was ridiculously impressed by it.
And I'm a bad sleeper. And I don't know whether, because I guess the other thing we were wondering was when you get on a cruise ship, you're like literally being thrown from left to right.
You're like
and
crawling down the
shouting,
corridor.
Starboard!
Gagging because you're like got horrible seasickness.
And you do feel an undulation, don't you? I mean, it is perceptible that you're at sea for sure.
Yeah, definitely sort of when you're in the bed at night time.
But yeah, back to sleeping. I found that gentle rocking. I slept so well, honestly. I slept 8 hours straight without ever waking up. And it was just this gentle kind of bobbing sensation all the time.
It was definitely nothing that made me feel sick in any way.
And I'm quite a...
You can feel quite sick, motion sick.
A vertigo, motion sick person. Like, I even, bizarrely, have to look at... if I walk in front of an elevator and look at it, I immediately feel like I'm moving up and down.
Oh, God, yesterday when I went to the Adobe Centre, obviously on the 13th floor, and when I got out the lift, I was basically...
Up and down, up and down.
Oh, God, yeah. Just get it so badly.
For someone who has sensitive ears, it was no problem. And when I got off the ship, I assumed I'd feel that weird undulating feeling that I often get with flying. But again, I didn't feel anything, actually.
So, yeah, that was probably a really common question about seasickness. No, we didn't get it.
There was one choppy night, it was more, like, vaguely hilarious than it was scary.
We were really, like... bobbing around.
We were in bed and I tumbled to the left of my bed. But and it
I think what happened that night was we had arrived at the island probably in the middle of the night and you can't dock, so the only reason we were feeling it is because we weren't moving.
Right. Yeah, in fact, actually, when you're moving forward,
you don't feel anything.
You don't feel a lot. No.
Yeah, but you know, if you did feel seasick, they give out seasickness pills
there's a hospital on the bottom floor, which I went to.
Yeah, they give them out there and everywhere. So you're going to be catered for anyway.
Yeah,
so
yes, don't worry about
seasickness. And definitely don't worry about the accommodation, because we were ridiculously impressed by it.
Yeah, I love that little room.
Cozy rooms, cozy beds, beautiful balconies.
Very quiet as well. I thought, because this cruise ship is enormous, it has 3,000 guests on it and 1,200 staff. I thought, oh, for sure, it's going to be so loud.
Yeah.
Like, people running up and down the gangways,
or
corridors shouting. But at night, as soon as you closed our door, I didn't hear
it. Silence,
complete silence.
Yeah, accommodation wise very impressed.
Yeah, so that night we arrived at Unpacked and we went to dinner.
We talk about food now,
to one of the first restaurants, and we weren't on a press trip necessarily, but there was another press trip running with journalists at the time.
Yes.
I just banged that, so there'll be a little bang then.
Okay,
so.
Well done, Laura.
Other journalists at the time, and bizarrely, Jonathan Wilkes of... Well, I know...
Jonathan Wilkes of...
We know Jonathan Wilkes because when we were growing up, he was in Rocky Horror, and our best friend was obsessed with Rocky Horror. So we actually ended up going to see him in Rocky Horror, like, quite a lot.
And he did quite a lot of Robbie Williams.
Yeah. So bizarrely, he was on the trip, and then some lovely journalists and their wives... who kind of became our friends. Shout out to Bridget. Kevin and Bridget. Yeah. So we had a lovely time with them. So we actually went to dinner that night with them. And it was our first experience of onboard dining. And again, the beige buffet fear had kind of plagued me.
In for? Sausage rolls and chips.
So on board, there's a number of different dining options. So there's three main restaurants, which if you pay for, because you pay for this all in your package, that you can go and eat at for free as soon as you arrive on board.
Right.
But then there's also another selection of restaurants that you do pay a small surplus.
But when I say small, it's like between £5 and £15 per head.
Yeah, to dine there. And so our first experience was at one of these restaurants. We went to an Indian that
Sindhu.
Night. Sindhu, which was kind of a fusion.
Like, pan-Asian.
Yeah, and it was... Oh, it was so good, wasn't it?
And I realised how quickly I forgot that we were at sea. It just felt like we had gone out to a restaurant, and then I looked out the window and like the waves are going past. I'm on a cruise.
Yeah, it was funny how quickly we forgot, actually. Yeah. So we met everybody and had a lovely dinner. I had this amazing... I mean, this is so British of me, but I had a korma.
I think there was a fight, we all had korma.
It felt like a korma with a twist. It was really, really nice. And so, yes, you do pay extra at those. So there was a few other ones where you could pay extra that we also dined at.
Yeah, so the Glass Room.
Glass House, sorry.
And Epicurean,
that's right. So we did go to Epicurean, and that is... Because I think at the other ones where they're already included, the dining experience isn't fast, but they are very prompt, aren't they? So if you want to get in an hour, you can. The Epicurean kind of, it was whole based on this leisurely dining. So
you think it's a 2.5 hour dining experience?
Yeah, when you go in, they make say, you know, do you have 2.5 hours to hand? And it's kind of very candlelit, very, I guess, like a French Italian restaurant.
Yeah, like a high end. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's on one of the top decks. So it's got panoramic views across the sea, which was quite romantic. But by far, 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 favourite restaurant was the Glass House.
Yes, that was kind of, you could order like really cool small plates of popcorn chicken and little tiny lamb shanks.
Yeah, and it was
so you could do like multiple tasting.
It was devised by the chef and TV host Ollie Smith in the UK, and its main feature really was the wine. So it had, hundreds of different wines from around the world, and each was paired to every single dish that was on offer there. So that was a really nice experience, and we had like lots of Prosecco and Kir Royales, and then all these kind of, I guess, sort of like slightly Asian dishes.
Yeah,
which were paired. And they were lovely.
That was definitely my favourite restaurant.
And then the other ones that are included, where you don't pay additional costs, are fine. You still...
Yeah, we went to one twice.
Yeah, you order a la carte. So there is a restricted menu.
Yeah.
You still sit... You can either sit alone or you can sit with others.
You can opt to do like dining with other guests. I think it's like up to 3 other sets of guests, isn't it?
Being antisocial.
We dined alone.
But that, I mean, that's fine. A lot of people
are
dining alone.
I think actually, if we'd been on board for 2 weeks, we would have totally got into that. It was just because we were on there for such a short amount of time.
Yeah, I think so.
That's probably why.
So that food was fine. It was, what I would say is it was sound.
Yes, sound. But I would say I preferred the ones where you paid, obviously, the small surplus. But that's understandable.
That's fine. But they were great. And at lunchtime, you could either go to those included ones and have... Again, you could order from a menu. There was a buffet. And breakfast was a buffet. Again, that was all included in the price as well.
Yeah.
And then there was also, like, a poolside grill and a pizzeria where you could get, well, obviously, pizzas.
Yeah, you could order things throughout the day at the bars.
Yeah. And so when you do book your cruise, everything, all foods included, apart from the surplus restaurants where you to pay a bit extra, and also your drinks. So drinks are included at breakfast. But past that, you'll be paying for your own drinks throughout the
day. I do know, because when I was on board, I had to book a cruise for my parents-in-law, who had gone, ironically, on the same boat, ship.
Don't call it a boat.
At like a week before us. And often when you book in your package, you get kind of like £250 on board spend.
Yeah, you get it put towards your experience, which is good.
So, yeah, you usually will get some money towards all of that stuff anyway.
And you can get a drinks package if you want. If you want to be kind of make sure you stay within a certain limit, so you can add that on before you cruise. So
food and drink wise, again, so impressed. And obviously during the days you're off on the island, so you can eat off the boat as well.
And if you dock overnight, we docked overnight in Barbados as part of our trip. We then went
Friday night out in Barbados.
Yeah, we just got off and off we went into
Bridgetown.
No, it wasn't Bridgetown. It was
the Oystins.
There was a Friday night street party, so we went there and we actually ate there. So you're not always eating on the ship either, which probably brings us to the authentic experience of taking a cruise.
Yeah, I guess the morning that we woke up on the Tuesday, we docked in Grenada.
Yes.
And we set off. We were a bit worried. So we were worried about the experience of once you were off board, we had visions of, 9,000 people all loading into one bus and we'd be shipped off to a place and you wouldn't really see it. And
there might be some flags involved.
You'd spend most of your time squashed between five sweaty people and not really see anything. And so I was actually quite nervous about the first excursion on the Tuesday because I just wanted it to be good.
And I think also with the excursions, I thought, you'll get off the ship and then you'll be like school kids shepherded in a queue for an hour in the sun.
And almost you're trapped. There's no freedom involved.
Yeah, it's all very organised and restrictive.
Yeah.
So we were a little bit hesitant when we docked in Grenada. So we woke up that morning and Grenada was just there.
Yeah.
Which was, again, I think that is my favourite element of a cruise.
Waking up to a new place.
Yeah. So we had two excursions, just one excursion booked in Grenada.
Yeah, just the one.
Which was something along the lines of sort of Grenada highlights.
Yes.
Or Grenada in a nutshell.
Well, it is called the Spice Islands, so it was all relating to nutmeg.
Yeah. So we kind of got ready. Because of jet lag, we'd already been up for ages.
Forever and a day.
We'd had breakfast, done a walk of the boat.
All before 8 o'clock.
Yeah, took some pictures of sunrise, and then we got off, which was, again, you just kind of get off, beep your little card.
Yeah, there are no queues, because, I imagine you having to queue to get off the boat. There was no one, you just got off.
Well, because it's not like you dock and it's like a mass exodus and they're like, everyone has to get off.
Like getting off a plane?
No, you can get off when you like. You might want to sunbathe for a couple of hours and then get off. You might not want to get off at all.
Yeah, some people don't get off.
You might want to get off first thing and come back after an hour. So everyone's doing their own thing and coming back and forward on their own.
Yeah.
So we got off, we just sort of ambled off. And then we found a little sign for our excursion.
Yeah.
And there was about six people waiting.
We had about a 5 minute wait and then
got on a little minibus.
A minibus and off we went.
Yeah, and the excursion was really lovely. It was basically, I think we almost covered nearly all of the island,
didn't
we? Yeah,
we did,
And our first and main stop was at this one of the oldest nutmeg factories on the island. So Grenada creates a lot of spice.
Yeah.
And mainly nutmeg is one of its...
Well, its main export is nutmeg.
So it's this amazing...
Nutmeg factory.
Factory, I was going to say restaurant. Where all the nutmeg is picked and crushed by hand.
Yeah, of these ladies who are just... Absolutely, like whizzy.
Ninjas.
Yeah, ninjas, nutmeg ninjas.
So when we walked in, just the smell, it smelled like Christmas, didn't it?
Yeah.
So it's hot outside, and then it's kind of mingling with all these spices, and we walked in, and it smelled amazing.
Delicious. And how a Spice Island should smell.
Yeah, and there was all these ladies, so the nutmeg's kind of falling through these little holes in front of them.
Yeah.
And then they're taking it and peeling, and basically taking the shell off.
Yeah, and then they're exported to all over the world. So we saw the big cases of what they go into.
And even all the sacks that the nutmeg goes into, they print by hand.
Yeah.
So everything in that factory was done by hand, which I thought was so cool.
Yeah, so we really enjoyed that. And there was probably about nine of us on the minibus, which is something we've experienced before on like tours when we've been to Sandals and St. Lucia before. And it was completely stress-free. But of course, we did the excursion, but you don't have to do that. So
no,
you don't have to do an excursion, which we found out when we went to St. Vincent the next day. You can just tour the island by yourself. You're free to do what you like. So a lot of people would get off and then there'd be...
Walk straight into the port.
Walk straight into the port and then there's sort of verified taxi drivers waiting there and you can literally say to them, show me your island. We've got, 9 hours and you just carve out your own itinerary. So you are completely free to do what you want. You are not restricted. You're not... you don't have to be somewhere or be with someone at any time.
No, and we got off and we walked. First of all, we arrived at St. Vincent. Initially, we walked into the town and then we realised we had no idea what we were doing. And so then we hastily
scurried back
again. And then we found a taxi driver waiting And he kind of gave us a little list of ideas of what to do.
Yeah, and I'd seen this before. I really wanted to go to the botanical gardens.
Yeah, and he was lovely and he was like, sure, get in. And actually, just before we got in, this other couple arrived and they're like, do you want to get in? We're having a really good tour.
Yeah, we're having a full day tour. Do you want to join us? And for a minute, I was like, I really want to join them.
Yeah, I felt like it a little bit. And then we kind of said no and they just sped off into the distance. Yeah. So we got in our taxi and we headed up to the botanical gardens of St. Vincent. So St. Vincent's one of the really little islands.
Yeah, beautiful island though.
And we've been to St. Lucia and Antigua and Jamaica, and it just felt quiet. I guess quiet is how I think.
Just like a miniature version of them.
Whereas Grenada, I guess maybe Grenada had the same feeling, but it was quite industrious in that there was so much work going on with all the spices and everything like that.
St. Vincent was, well, maybe it's because we went to the botanical gardens and it was just the sound of birds, parrots. It smelled incredible.
Yeah.
And it's just so lush and green and the flowers, the colours were just, for a January, from going from dreary Milton Keynes to that, it was just amazing.
God, it doesn't feel like it even happened, does it?
I feel like the memories are so vivid because I was just so bloody thankful that I was there.
Yeah. So he dropped us off. We had a lovely sort of morning at the Botanical Gardens and then he picked us up again and was like, where do you want to go? So we'd seen this view up this cliff that we'd been told about and we basically pointed at
take us up there.
He was like, sure. So off we went up there and that was really nice, got some great views.
Yeah, so we just decided to do half a day excursion to St. Vincent.
I think we were just a bit hot and bothered and we just sort of like, should we just return to the ship?
Yeah, so we did. Excursion-wise, they are there. P&O, there's an excursion counter so you can go and book your excursions on board or before you go, obviously, on the cruise. And we would highly recommend them. We did another excursion on the Friday, which was my favourite, which
Barbados.
Was in Barbados. We did. We went to Turtle Bay and sang with turtles.
Yeah.
And again, I was thinking, oh, God, I really hope there's not, 35 of us about to get into this water and just harass these turtles.
Yeah, I was a bit worried it might be a bit like, the swim with dolphins experiences in the Caribbean where you kind of, well you worry about the animals.
The welfare is not good. So but we went on a catamaran. There was probably 12, maybe 10 or 12 of us.
Yeah.
And being able to swim with turtles, I couldn't believe that there was just so many there.
I know. And they're so cute and they have these funny little faces.
This looks so wise.
Yeah, and they were just sort of swimming around in this beautiful crystal clear bay. And I've always wanted to go to Barbados.
Yeah, just one of those islands. And we said, when we're little, my dad always said, if we win the lottery, Amanda, we'll go to Barbados.
We didn't win the lottery.
We never won it. So
we had to get there on our own.
They've never been either.
By our own steam. So the catamaran took us up the side of the island and he kind of pointed out, the crew were amazing, really funny.
The best crew.
Local crew. And they were pointing out Rihanna's house and Sandy Lane, this really expensive and
hotel,
kind of world-renowned hotel. And then they pulled up and we all got in. A few people had a panic.
Yeah, a bit of a snorkel panic.
Yeah, but they just threw a tyre at them and they got dragged in. But it didn't feel crowded or contrived. People were just kind of either swimming to look for the turtles or there was coral there.
Yeah.
And amazing fish. We went to a shipwreck first.
Yeah.
Which was just filled with basically Finding Nemo.
Little tiny Finding Nemos everywhere.
Yeah, and it was really relaxed. I think we had a few hours just snorkeling around. Then you could get back on when you like to have a beer.
A beer and a really good lunch.
Yeah, it was a Caribbean jerk chicken and a macaroni pie.
I had a Five Guys for lunch and I'm starving.
My hands still smell like pickle.
My hands are all clammy because I don't dare move them.
This blanket's very hot.
Yeah, well,
we put a blanket over us as well to make the sound in here a little softer.
I'm beginning to sweat.
I'm boiling.
So, I would highly recommend, and even if it was one excursion, just because you get to, I guess, maybe experience some things you wouldn't get to experience by yourself. Like the swimming with turtles is much easier just to book it through.
It's stress-free. And obviously you have to pay extra for the excursions.
Yeah.
But I think they're pretty well priced.
Yeah, I really think so.
And they're prompt. There's no waiting around. You just get off, you get on and off you go.
Yeah, there's no being sort of mugged off or having to work out.
No, it's really hassle-free. And I enjoyed our excursions. And then on the Friday night in Barbados, we could have taken an excursion to Oystons. But we decided to go on Doreen's steam,
fine. So you usually will have a day that you're docked overnight and obviously then you're totally up to you just to get off the boat and come back before they set sail the next day in the morning. So we decided, it was Friday night, we definitely needed to go out to Barbados, and Oystons is a massive fish market on a Friday night, fish party, hundreds of stalls cooking, fresh chicken and fish.
Live music.
Live music and dancing.
A stage with people dancing.
Some cricket fans were there, doing English cricket fans doing some interesting moves.
But it's amazing. If you do, if you happen to end up in Barbados on a Friday night.
Go to Oystons.
Go to Oystons.
Mega fun.
arrived and we kind of wandered through all the streets. We were with a guy called Mike, who was a photographer on our ship.
Yeah, just messaged us, didn't he?
Yeah, he was lovely. And people kept asking if we were his children.
I think it annoyed him.
So yeah, we went to found this kind of big area where they were selling all fresh food.
Careful, what did we have? Careful with what you're doing there.
We had jerk chicken. Rice and
I had fish.
Oh yeah, you had fish.
Yeah, I had fish.
And we had some carob beers, and then
I'm starving.
It was just an amazing atmosphere there, wasn't it, for a Friday night?
Yeah. So people who say, "Oh, you don't get to experience a place," well, when you're docked, it's no different. You're just going out in the evening, going for your normal dinner.
Yeah.
And but it's just that the cruise ship is your hotel, and you go back to that instead.
Yeah. And we just got a taxi there and back to Oysterdins, which was slightly longer than we had suspected.
I thought it was like a 10-minute drive, and it sort of went on for about 45 minutes.
Yeah. So we just got a taxi there and back, and we're completely fine. So yeah, I guess you use the analogy of the ship
is a floating hotel.
It's a floating hotel.
You can just see it like that, and if you don't want to get involved with onboard life and activities, you don't need to. Just see it as you go to sleep there, you have something to eat in the morning, you get off and you go and experience a brand new Caribbean island. Yeah.
And yes, people said, did you find that you had enough time? We would say that a cruise is like a taster menu.
Yeah.
So you, on the days that you don't dock, you have from about 8 a.m. to about 4:30,
yeah,
to get off and do your own thing, and then you're back on. It provides you with a good, I guess, if
good
you want
taste
to
taste a day.
And a lot of millennials do want to do this. It's just basically like tick off load of destinations. You know, then you can, and it's kind of a really good experience. And then if you want to go back, you know, on your own holiday, you can.
Mm-hmm.
But also with P&O, you can, on some of their European ones, turn it into a city break and a cruise that you can fly in, for example, and spend a couple of days in Venice and then get on the cruise ship if you want, which I thought was a really good alternative.
I still felt like, despite only, you know, being on an island for a day, we still, like the whole thing, yes, it was less about I know St. Lucia in detail, real detail for 7 days, but I got a really good taste and experience of multiple Caribbean islands.
Yeah, and our cruise had actually been in the Northern Islands initially before we joined it.
So Antigua and...
Yeah, all around there, and Grand Turk and Toloda. Toloda. I never say it right.
Toloda.
And then anyway, it came down and into the Southern Islands, which is what we did.
Yeah, and finished in Barbados.
So I can say that I had a really good experience of sort of the Caribbean Southerly Islands rather than this in-depth, you know, exploration of St. Vincent.
But you have to see it as an overall experience, perhaps.
Yeah, I think maybe you have to, if you're going to take a cruise, change your mindset a little to, I'm not going to have all these intricate kind of intimate experiences in a place, but I'm going to experience a region in a week, which I think is quite cool.
And it also forces you to relax. So, you know, you're moving slowly, you're moving on a ship, so you know, you have to, every evening you get to go on your balcony and watch that sunset. And
yeah, and if you, I mean, we flew obviously to St. Lucia, but if you decide to sail from Southampton to your chosen destination, which some people do, then in a way, what did Mike say,
you have to be very contemplative.
You like to contemplate, basically. Yeah. And I think actually there's something really nice about that, is that you get on at Southampton and you know this adventure or holiday awaits, but you've got these 4 days at sea crossing the Atlantic first,
and no weight restrictions on your suitcases.
No, and you kind of just can relax into your holiday, and I don't know, to me it feels like a more mindful way to travel in a way.
Yeah, I think it's true. And, you know, I hate airports, I hate flying.
Yeah, so why not just get on at Southampton?
Rid you of so much anxiety, really.
So I think in a way it's a very different way to travel, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have its perks.
Not at all. And again, we thought it was a way to travel for an older generation. There are plenty of people on board.
Oh, there
are lots
of young
couples. Young families and
multi-generational families as well. Lots of those.
My parents-in-law, who had gone over Christmas, said it was such a mix, because obviously it's a Christmas holiday. So there was, you know, families, teenagers, young couples.
Yeah.
So it really is. It's not how you imagine it in terms of the demographic.
No, and I think like they've launched a cruise that goes around the Arabian Gulf that our friend Molly's on at the minute.
I think she got off yesterday.
Yeah, and you go to some amazing places there that if you were to want to
Oman.
See them, if you want to see them individually, planning a holiday and the flights like that would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Why not like just get on a ship where you don't have to, you dump your stuff in one room and you're done for a week or 2 weeks. And then life on board the ship. We were, again, a bit worried about the sea days. So we only had one sea day, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we're kind of wondering like, oh God, am I going to be like, get me off.
And just throw yourself overboard.
Yeah, and I don't know, do something insane. So, but as soon as you get on the ship and you are struck by its large self.
By its size.
And how much there is to do, you realise that you're an idiot. Largely, most people want to do on a sea day is sunbathe.
Yeah, which is what we wanted to do.
What we did. We found this amazing area on our ship called The Retreat.
Yeah.
And it does come at additional cost. It's £30 a day, but it's on the very top deck.
Is it 30? I thought it was £15 per person.
I thought it was 15 for half day.
Oh, no, yeah, 30.
It's on the top deck. And it's got these kind of amazing canopies. So there's like a shaded area with luxury sun lounges, and you can get fruit food throughout there throughout the day. Yeah. Lunch,
breakfast. You get a lunch, a breakfast and a lunch.
There's like fruit water teas, and then obviously outside of the shaded area, there's amazing luxury sunbeds again. Yeah. And you go through a little gate to get into it, so
it feels a bit more secluded.
A bit more secluded, and it was really lovely and quiet there, because on the sea day, obviously, there's 3,000 people on board.
But despite that, even around the whole ship, it didn't feel like that at all.
I mean, I thought it would be like, you know when you've seen those YouTube videos of people at the swimming pool in China?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like a Tokyo subway station.
Yeah, I thought, oh God, the pool's going to be like that. But actually, where the retreat was, there was also the spa, which was lovely, where I actually had a treatment on our sea day.
Yeah.
There was a little pool there that no one was really ever in, were they?
No, not at all.
And in terms of other things to do, well, I'd say that largely we sunbathed.
Yeah.
And or slept.
But, you know, part of a cruise is that you get to slow down and relax a bit. So
you are in the Caribbean.
Yeah, and I mean, again, if we had been on it for 2 weeks, we might have, you know, taken more sea days to explore and done a few more things on board.
No, we basically laid down is how I'd describe it.
It was beautiful.
But in terms of things to do, there is an amazing theatre there, and there was a show, which is why Jonathan Wilkes was there. He curated it. There's an amazing show.
Stephen Mulhern.
Yeah, that was on board. There was Sea Screen.
Yeah.
It's like an onboard cinema at night, and they showed Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
So you're kind of under the Caribbean stars watching these amazing films, which I thought was a really cool thing.
Yeah, a big spa. Outdoor cinema.
There's a gym that we went to once.
did a stretch class, so that wasn't even working
we
out.
We went once, and I was like, yeah, we'll do this every day.
Never went again.
But the gym was pretty impressive, yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah, good, and really good classes, you know, Pilates, yoga, body balance, everything.
Yeah, and during sea days, they book in different classes, like painting classes, there's speakers, there's dance classes.
You could fill your entire day doing activities.
Yeah.
But for us, you know, we're in the Caribbean for not very long. We just wanted to go up into the retreat, peace and quiet, and read our books.
Yeah,
and
I did do a bit of shopping. Yeah. And I did have a spa treatment.
That's true, you did do a bit.
And I went to the library a few times.
Yeah.
Which was really nice.
And the other sort of highlight then.
Oh, and there was also really good sports courts on the top deck, so you could play. There was golf nets.
Shuffleboarding.
Yeah, shuffleboarding. Football. There was a basketball court as well, football court, tennis. So actually, if you are really active, which I am not.
You're not going to get restless.
No, you'll be absolutely fine on a sea day. You won't have to jump overboard.
And I guess, just thinking about it, the last sort of stereotype we had is we had heard about these formal nights where you had to dress up. And I was kind of like begrudgingly throwing a few fancy dresses into my suitcase before we left.
Fancy dress?
Fancy dresses.
Oh, fancy dresses.
Yeah, not fancy dress.
Inappropriate.
Into the suitcase. And yeah, just thought, oh God, this is not going to be something that I really want to take part in. You know, imagining again, like...
I imagined it like the ambassador's ball from the Ferrero Rocher advert.
Yeah, we're all going to be in like...
Sir?
Long ball gowns drifting around the...
Or it was for like a prom at school, except we're all adults and being stupid.
Yeah, it was weird. But actually, the formal night was like a weirdly unexpected highlight.
I loved it.
Because I guess you don't really have much of a chance to dress up. And
oh, yeah, because the dress code is casual all day. I thought for some reason on a cruise you have to be, I don't know, like really smart, like a little kid all dressed up neatly. But it's just like being on holiday.
I mean, it's just like being on holiday. But and again, you don't have to take part in the formal nights. You can just go to the buffet restaurants and ignore it.
Or you can get room service.
But we wanted to do it, and it was just something lovely about like being dressed up, the stars were twinkling outside.
And I think everyone started to leave a little bit earlier from the pool to get ready, and it looked like ladies were in the hairdressers and stuff. And it was just like a, like when you walked out in your dress, everyone was smiling at each other in like a nice...
I heard like ladies think, oh, isn't it lovely to see the young girls and all their dresses?
Yeah, I don't know. I really liked it. And we went over to the Glass House that night, and we met with some guys there that were also filming.
Met with some guys there, that sounds...
that were filming and had some cocktails, and it was just actually really fun. And it was fun to see, like, really bizarre to see guys wearing tuxes everywhere.
Laura was... What she's not saying is she was particularly taken by the men in their tuxes.
I fancy anyone in a tuxedo.
Yeah, me too. To
dress
fair.
A dog up in a tuxedo and I'd find him attractive.
Just be the cat up. So, yeah, the...
Beat the cat up.
Just be the cat up.
I mean, I wouldn't fancy a female cat. God, I draw the line there, Claire.
So, yeah, the formal nights, again, I think if you're on actually 2 week cruise, you probably have like 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah.
But rejoice in them, enjoy
honestly,
them, embrace just them.
Go to town, have some champagne, glide around like you are at the ambassador's
ball. Yeah, how often do you get to dress up and float around the Caribbean?
Yeah.
You know? Stop being so...
Don't feel that you have to be this traveller that's like always a bit dirty, you know, and sleeping in a tent. And
just enjoy it. It's a nice experience.
Exactly. Like, life is already hard and annoying.
And cruises make life easier.
Yeah, so...
Maybe that should be the end of that.
Our week in the Caribbean was And our Ouija board of cruise, really, in short, left us wanting to go on a cruise again.
Completely. Would do. I am hand on heart, would do a cruise again.
I miss it.
I still miss it. Mainly.
Claire's trying to put her glass down ever so quietly.
Without making a sound.
Well done there. Yeah. No, we had such a good time. And actually, talking about it has made me think how much I really did enjoy it.
Yeah, it was, for me, again, like, you know, anxious travellers, like airports and all that stressed me out. I was so chilled on that holiday. I got into the groove of every afternoon having a Mars bar ice cream.
Yeah. Cruises aren't just for older generation people. And yes, they aren't this fast-paced way of travelling. But what's wrong with that?
Yeah. Every now and again, you need something to escape into. And why not escape into a beautiful ship?
Like New Zealand.
Delicious food. And that takes you around the world.
Yeah, and like good company. Because you inevitably make friends.
Yeah, inevitably. So,
we flew home.
And we had
an overnight flight home with Thomas Cook.
Yeah, so usually you can fly. P&O will charter Thomas Cook flight. So if you've booked a cruise, we obviously flew out Virgin because we're flying out later, but you'll usually go in and out on a chartered flight.
Which is for the cruise passenger.
So maybe. Everyone on that flight will be a cruise passenger.
Yep, so we arrived home, a lovely sunny morning, Manchester Airport day, and we knew that in 3 days' time we were heading from the Caribbean to the French Alps.
Very different.
It made me feel like James Bond.
This is my life.
People are like, oh, have you just been to the Caribbean? Yes, now I'm off to the French Alps.
So I'm just going to throw my bikini in the washing basket and get out my thermals.
Yeah, we were heading to Teens. Teens in France. And we were going with the same group of people that we went to Provence with last autumn.
Yeah, I feel like just to test if they listen to this, I feel like just planting things to see whether
they... Yeah, if you do listen to this, send me a message that says fish.
Yeah, if you listen to this, send just an emoji of a fish.
Okay. Challenge set.
Planted.
So we had gone to Provence, and that was one of our best trips last year.
Yeah, we spoke about this.
Unexpected gem.
So we went with hand luggage only, Yaya and Lloyd, who are like our favourite people in the world, Rich from Paper Boyo, and Anna, who is the PR for Toot France.
Yeah, we knew that we'd be going to Teens, and we knew that we'd be staying in fairly decent chalet, I'd say.
Yeah, and then sort of Rich started to twist it, because it was his birthday when we were out there, that it was then we were going out for his birthday.
Yeah, which was untrue, but weather gets you through life, really. Tell yourself a lie. So we knew we were going to Teens, we knew we were staying in a nice chalet, and we knew that we'd been skiing, and that was pretty much it. Anna did a really good job of keeping a lot under wraps, because she's cute and she wanted it to be a surprise.
And yeah, we just didn't really have much time to think about it.
No, so we packed...
Thermals.
So Claire and I both went skiing as teenagers to Sugarloaf in America. And then since then, you hadn't skied again, had you? I'd been on about four ski holidays since. So I can ski, but mentally, I can't
mental
ski.
Mental block, yeah.
Like, physically, I can do everything I need to do, but mentally, my brain's going, oh my God.
Just get me down from here.
The whole time. So I was aware of that mental block. So didn't really think much of it. Claire had a ski training day.
So in Milton Keynes, we are known for the fact that we have the Snow Zone, which is
Snow Dome.
It's
in called, the Snow Dome?
No, it's just called the Snow Zone now.
Why do people call it the
Rebrand.
Snow Dome?
Rebrand. So I went the day before on the Wednesday. God knows what possessed me. I know what I'll do. I'll do an 8-hour ski workshop, which was the most intense, exhausting experience of my life. But it gave me, you know, some sort of...
No, Claire, you came round and you went, the guy said I was naturally talented. I was a natural skier. Were your exact words?
Probably did.
And I thought to myself, wait till she gets on the slopes, because it's so different.
Did say that, probably.
I did say that, but you didn't hear me through your smugness.
Okay. So I went and did that the day before. So already on the Thursday, I was aching like nobody's business.
Yeah, so crack of dawn, we got an early flight to Geneva. And funny enough, whenever I've skied in France, I've always flown to Geneva and then driven back into through the French border, back into France. It's probably the easiest
way. That's
what
we did. Got on a minibus, which is what we're good at that on our trips, of getting into minibuses and immediately falling asleep.
Yep, and so from Geneva to Teens, it was about a 3-hour.
I think it was like 2.5 in the end.
Yeah, we did stop for a little bite to eat, which probably added on.
What we stopped is in a supermarket where we made DIY ham and cheese sandwiches.
Someone bought some bread, someone bought some ham.
Just for anyone who thinks these trips are really, really luxurious.
I was absolutely covered in crumbs the whole way.
We just sat in the back of a minibus eating ham baguettes.
But the drive there, and this struck me last time when I've done this drive, is amazing. You go through past Lake Annecy, which is this beautiful Lake Annecy. I always want to stop at it. Stop looking at my teeth.
I'm sorry. Maybe I just look at people's mouths all the time.
Well, look, apparently you only do that when you want to kiss someone.
I don't want to kiss you.
So we drove past Lake Annecy, which was beautiful. And then the drive in, you go obviously into the Alps and then slowly up the Alps. So we drove past Chamonix and then La Rosière and then eventually we're on to Teens.
Yes. So Teens is a ski region made up of 5 villages.
Yes. So little villages as well.
Little villages. And yeah. We were staying in the lowest lying one, called Le Brevier.
Teens Le Brevier.
And it is meant to be, it's known basically as the most sort of authentic, slowest paced, rustic type one, which, you know, after kind of going around the Caribbean, we were happy to be in the sort of the quieter one.
Yeah, and it was so cute.
A little tiny fairy tale.
Because I think sometimes Chamonix, for example, ski towns, I've been to Whistler, they'd be quite an industry, they're busy. There's lots of shops, like supermarkets and stuff. But this really was Little Village, wasn't
Little
it?
Village, very authentic. You know, there was just sort of a little pack of ponies that ran through the town every morning.
And they were like, nay, every morning. And little doggies running everywhere.
So it was, you know, for people who are thinking where to stay in Teens, Le Brevier, if you're looking for a slower sort of pace of life, is definitely where you want to base yourself.
And it was really picturesque. So it kind of looks straight onto the mountainside and there's a little lake at the bottom of the village. Well, quite a big lake, actually. Yeah. That's just, so in the mornings when you wake up in the snow's falling, it really is like a snow globe and it's unbelievably beautiful.
Yeah, and I guess I hadn't really thought, you know, I'd really thought about is, oh yes, I get to go away with my friends again and let's hope I don't break a leg. But I hadn't really thought much about the actual setting of where we're going.
Yeah,
so it was quite a shock, you know, if I'm going from the Caribbean suddenly stepping out and it was just, you know, perfect powdery snow and these little chalets.
And I kind of had a cluster of little tiny restaurants, which inside were just so cosy, like wood and kind of really
candles,
authentic, weren't they?
Candles
and just lovely. And then, so you got into Teens Le Brevier, but you can also stay in the other villages as well, can't you?
Yeah, so there is Le Lac. Oh God, you're going to really test me on all of them, aren't you? No. 1800, Teens 1800, and then there's 2 others.
Yeah. And which is the biggest?
Le Lac.
Le Lac, okay.
Yeah. So Le Lac is the biggest, and we were in the smallest.
Okay. Well, that's quite nice to know.
Yeah, thank you.
And so we arrived in the village, and basically the village is just set up on like a winding road that gets gradually higher.
Yeah.
So we weaved our way up to the top, and then we sort of, again, I hadn't thought about the chalet, but we just arrived in front of the chalet, and it said Black Diamond. And the staff came out to welcome us. And that's when I thought to myself, oh,
Jesus Christ.
I've really missed a trick here because this is bigger and better than I thought.
Yeah. So Black Diamond is owned by the GC Collection.
Yeah.
Which is owned by like a professional, well, he's a retired pro skier now.
Yeah.
Called Galain Chitteray. Who obviously has like the world's coolest tastes.
He's like obviously zany.
Absolute coolest man around.
Don't use that word anymore.
Yeah, so he really wanted to kind of bring the, because I guess in Teens Le Brevier, you've got your normal chalets, and I think he wanted to make
traditional chalets.
Yeah, and he wanted to really make his stamp on chalets that wouldn't look out of place in London.
Yeah.
So they weren't even called chalets, they were called residences.
Yeah.
And we were staying
residences.
And we were staying in Black Diamond, which was 6 residences. And the one we were staying in was Charlie.
Yeah.
And it had a neighbour called Tango, and they were both really basically had just opened. Well, we were the first guests to stay there.
So this, I guess it's more of a complex. It was like one huge building, beautiful building, and inside were these 6 different residences.
With some shared areas, basically.
Yeah, and the shared area was, which we kind of, the first area we saw was this downstairs boot room.
Yeah.
So normally when I've been skiing, like, you just stumble into your chalet and kick your boots off in the corner and, like, the ice just melts and it's all messy. And we arrived and immediately we met by the Black Diamond staff.
Yeah. And Neil, the lovely manager.
Yeah, the lovely manager, Neil. And there, it was lovely and warm. And then you go to an area where there's heated boot warmers where you basically store all your ski stuff.
It's basically an area for all your ski gear. So you don't have to take any of it up to the chalet. And in the morning, the butlers are on hand to help you get ready for your day, basically.
Butler's a funny word.
Yeah,
it?
But they do use the term on the website, okay. So I'm going to use it.
But they're just normal members of staff who are lovely.
Who become your friends.
Who help you get the stuff. So we went in there and then we kind of got ushered into this sort of vaguely futuristic lift.
Yeah.
We're shot upstairs and then ahead of us opened up this amazing spa.
Yeah, so one of the shared areas within Black Diamond is basically a spa retreat with a huge pool kind of looking out over the mountains.
Oh, like, honestly, like floor-to-ceiling windows overlooking the mountains.
Yeah, and you've got this pool with, like, hydro jets so you can kind of massage your back after a long day of skiing. Had a sauna.
Steam room,
and then hammam, and you can basically also have in-house therapists so you can book massages if you want to.
It felt like James Bond, basically.
It, honestly.
I walked in and I was
this place
like,
is in bloody insane.
And I felt like Daniel Craig.
And I thought, Anna, you've pulled this off. And Rich, stop thinking this is all for your birthday, because it's not.
Yeah, and it was just, so we saw the spa and I was like, oh my God, getting a bit excited. And then we basically went down another corridor, up another lift, down another corridor, up another lift. And then finally it was time for our secret lift.
Yeah, so we got into our secret lift, which would take you to Charlie and also Tango, because you can rent them both out at the same time if you're in a massive group.
How many would you need then to rent both out? How much do they both sleep?
God, so you'd probably be like a group of 20.
20 upwards, plus, yeah.
So this lift shot up and opened up into into the dining area and living area of Charlie. And I was kind of like, what the hell? Like, where are we?
Yeah, it was incredible. It was a huge open plan living room and kitchen area. And then just again, on both walls, floor to ceiling windows overlooking the lake of Tinsley Brevier
and the ski slopes.
So you could see people coming down.
They were like falling down, not falling, but you could see these tiny little dots.
I was
coming,
falling.
Yeah, coming down the mountain.
We had like a foosball table.
Yeah, and the piece de resistance was this dining room table that had been made out of a 1950s military aircraft, which was quite fitting for a bunch of travel bloggers.
It's very stylish.
Like the glass of the table sat over a huge one of the wheels of the plane.
Very handy for putting your feet on.
Yeah, we found that actually. So it was just like not a chalet that you would expect in a skiing. Like it honestly looked like a penthouse suite in New York or London.
And we had a lovely host, Alexia, who was always on hand. She did our breakfasts for us and drinks and also served dinner.
Yeah, so she was there ready for us.
And then we went, Neil kind of said, do you want to go downstairs and see the bedrooms, which were down this sort of like marble black staircase.
And we're all kind of thinking, oh my God, you're desperate to see your own bedroom.
And because no one had stayed there either. I mean, this is brand spanking new. And all of our rooms had our names on them.
Yes.
I was given a pink boudoir, which I was very, very happy about.
I was given a red boudoir.
Yeah, and my room, because I mean, Claire and I always share. Claire and I have shared single beds in our time.
Yeah, we've shared a single bed.
But my room was enormous, this king-size bed, and I could lay in bed and basically look onto the slopes from my bed.
Yeah, I could. If I lay in my bed, I could see people going down the slopes like little marbles.
So amazing bedrooms, and then you went up this staircase that was actually
the steps from the plane.
Yeah, so you went up this staircase and it was called the kids room, but I mean, I loved this room. And inside was the shell of the actual aircraft. Yeah. And inside the shell,
it kind of created a gaming snug.
Yeah, there was leather couches, huge widescreen TV, there was like a Nintendo Wii,
gaming consoles,
and to play on them you could sit in the original airline sort of
seat,
pilot seat, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And there were kids' beds up there as well where the kids
I was just thinking, whatever kid gets to stay here is
so lucky.
You know, Laura and I used to have to play with sticks in a sort of, I don't know,
run down Spanish Village.
Yeah. But these kids were going to be living like their best life.
Yeah, and downstairs there was also our own hammam and sauna.
Yes.
As well. So this place was just, I mean, it was out of this world.
Absolutely.
I felt like a millionaire, even though I'm so far from a millionaire, you can't believe how far I am.
Yeah, it was a proper taste of luxury that I've never experienced before, and nothing that I would equate to a ski trip.
No, I mean, the chalets I've stayed in before have always been homely and cute, creaky and stuff.
But this was glamorous, like sleek, luxurious.
And it was also managed by or helped by the boutique chalet company.
Yes.
As well, who market it as well. So kind of all combined, these three companies have created this real...
absolute dream, basically.
It was amazing.
So we had, we were there and we had catered experience, which meant... on the night that we arrived, we popped down into the resort to have our ski gear fit.
At Intersport,
and that was like such a quick process. And Lloyd said to me, oh, this is the worst bit. So you have to literally queue out the door and it's really long and hot. There was no one there.
Well, I think it's because we didn't arrive on like a turnover day.
So one of the biggest tips is when you're skiing, avoid arriving on a Saturday because that's when you're going to get caught in all the ski hire shenanigans.
Mayhem.
But we kind of were in and out in 20 minutes, all six of us, with our ski gear.
Got all ski boots, ski helmets, poles, the whole shebang.
And taken back up. And then that was it for the day. We'd got up early and we didn't have to go out again because we had a catered dinner. So
we all jumped in the spa. And this is the point where I need to apologise. So the night before we flew...
What are you about to say?
I felt a bit ill, didn't I?
Oh, right, yeah. You were starting to feel unwell.
I started to feel a bit ill. I'd been ill on the cruise with like a cold.
A cough and a cold.
And then I felt better. And then the night before we flew, I started to like cough quite a lot. And then that night I thought, well, do you know what's good for a cough? A steam room.
Yeah, and not all of us... innocent bystanders.
So off we went into the
Steam room together.
Yeah, and that is where I bred my germs.
Where you bred the plague.
So I was then well, we'll get into this. We don't have to get into it. But I was then really ill from the Friday.
No, yeah, you were really ill.
Really ill. And I managed to pass it not only to Claire, but I passed it to Yaya and Lloyd, and I passed it to Rich.
We were discussing, I saw Rich yesterday, and I said, and he was saying, like, how much weight he had also lost from this plague.
Really?
Yeah. Because I said, you know, I'd went to the gym, I'd lost, you know, all this weight. And
I didn't lose.
We decided that Yaya and Lloyd didn't have it because they recovered so fast.
Okay. Well, I passed it then to Claire and Rich.
Yeah, we all got really unwell at different times, which is such a shame.
Yeah, it was a shame. So we had a spa, and then that night we had our first catered dinner, which was exceptional.
Exceptionally delicious. Three courses, yeah.
Three courses, and then we also met Matt from Skibro.
Yeah.
So one reason we were there as well was to try this new service that Matt has basically set up, this new platform.
Yeah, it's a website and an app. I called it this Tinder of finding a ski instructor.
And they said they preferred it to be called, like, the booking.com or something of Tinder.
Yeah.
Less seedy.
I still called it Tinder.
Less seedy.
And so basically it's an app, because I wouldn't know how to find a ski instructor before ahead of a holiday. You know, you'd have to ring people, you'd have to...
I've always had them booked for me by when I've travelled with whoever I've been travelling with, and they don't know who they are. And literally on the day, like, a man called David will turn up.
Yeah, which is... I just don't like that. And this is basically an app. You put in the resort that you're in, and all their profiles come up with sort of like these cute little 2-minute video instructions.
Like,
hey, I'm rich. I like going out and the cinema. Yeah, so it's basically that. And then you book through the app. That's it. You're done.
You're done.
So it's so easy. So if you're going on a ski holiday and
you can watch these little videos, can't you?
That's what I just said.
I was singing.
Yeah, you're singing so loud. You didn't hear me. So it's a super easy way to book your ski instructor, and saves time, saves the stress of trying to ring France or, you know, Italy, wherever you're going, and trying to, you know, speak to someone. So the Skibro app is, I would say, like a bit of a game changer.
Yeah. So he came to dinner, which was lovely.
He did come to dinner.
Yes. Yeah,
so along with Marion.
And Marion, who is the PR for teens and is my new female crush.
Oh, I hope she listens to this.
So we had a lovely dinner, and the food was, I mean, the chef who is for the whole complex, he's the chef for the whole complex, isn't he? Honestly, it was delivered in this, so this lift kind of shot up, and then they'd arrive with all the food, and we had unlimited wine. Like, it was just lovely, wasn't it? Really good night. Went to bed,
and then the next day was our inaugural day on the slopes.
Now, by this point, I'm feeling even worse.
And I've started to feel a little bit like just not top of my game.
But I could see that you did not want to be skiing on your own. You're like, come on, just a morning.
Yeah.
Come on. Just a day.
Come.
And I'm like doubled over, coughing on the floor. Like, I couldn't.
I was like, the Alpine air will help you.
No, Teens is one of the highest resorts in Europe.
Basically no oxygen.
No oxygen. So I'm like coughing a lung up.
Yeah.
And you're like, come on. So anyway, we got ready, had a lovely breakfast.
And we'd been paired with the lovely Rich, originally from Northumberland.
But he was one of those men who was from Northumberland, but also via the world.
He was a global citizen.
Yeah, so he had an unusual accent. But he was the nicest guy.
Like, the most patient. And this is what's great about the Skibro app. You can make sure you get, you know, you're not paired with some absolute adrenaline junkie who's going to make you throw yourself off a cliff on the first 10 minutes.
I remember going to La Rosière and having he's about 21.
Yeah,
and he was like, come on, let's go off piste. And I was crying in my goggles.
Yeah. You want to be paired with someone, and Rich was the perfect for us. He was calm, he was patient, he knew how to sort of handle us, which was really good. And the boys, they went off with
David,
who was probably a little bit more zany.
He was crazy. I mean, he was crazy.
He was crazy.
So to get to the slopes, you can just take a gondola, can't you?
Yeah, so you can ski in Le Brevier, and the slopes are perfect. There's a nursery slope, which is really good, because if you want to sort of get your bearings when you first arrive, you can do that. And then straight away, you can get a lift up to Teens 1800, which then connects through to Val d'Isère, if you want to ski through Val d'Isère, or upwards even further, basically.
So we went on the nursery slopes, and Rich was like, you're fine. Like, you can go up higher now.
You're fine, as in you can make it down a slope without falling over.
Yeah, so we went off on some ski lifts, up we went, higher and higher. Did we go to Teens?
We went, I don't actually know how high we went in the end, but we stayed within the slopes of Le Brevier.
We did.
Yeah.
And I think the only reason you might want to move over to the other slopes or Val d'Isère is because they have more blue runs.
Yeah, so better blue and green runs, yeah.
Yeah, so if you are a bit of a nervy beginner, there was any sort of one or two runs that we could do.
Yeah, I would definitely say, when you're, if you're booking your ski trip and you're going to Skeins, Teens, make sure you book a ski pass that lets you go between Val d'Isère and Teens, basically.
Is that more expensive?
It is a more expensive pass, but I think it's worthwhile for being able to ski on those slopes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had like a full day of skiing that day, and a lunch punctuated by a lovely lunch.
That was in the village as well.
Yeah, I can actually get the name of the lunch, the restaurant.
I remember just walking in, and it was just filled with people kind of having lunch together, like families, and there were some dogs running around.
Yeah, it's called Lamalie. It's like a little wooden panelled, sort of a very traditional restaurant,
yeah,
with very traditional dinners and dishes.
Yeah.
So I had like a little goat's cheese parfait.
I had coq au vin, which I always seem to have when I'm skiing.
And a lovely, and a good beer to give me some more confidence for the afternoon.
And when I'm skiing, for some reason, I know a lot of people like après-ski, but for me, lunchtimes when I'm skiing, I've always loved lunchtimes.
Love a drink.
Because you'd be really cosy and you're kind of that faint relief that you survived the morning.
Yeah, thank God.
Before you go on to the afternoon.
Dread that the afternoon's coming up.
So then we went and had another few hours skiing in the afternoon with him.
Yeah.
And I felt pretty confident by the end.
Yes, but then you got too unwell to come out that night.
No, so how did you feel though about skiing?
I loved it. Well,
you said you lost your confidence.
The last time I skied I was 17, like 16, no, 15.
You said to him, my bread is telling my legs to move, but I'm not moving.
Yeah, no, it's just like I couldn't, I was really good on turning left, but not very good on turning right. Yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting. But I still enjoyed the experience.
Yeah, and which was great. Really good.
So patient.
And I think the boys actually went up higher and did some red ones and basically did what boys do, which is being irritatingly good at stuff that I'm not good
at. Whatever.
So that was that. And then that evening, yes, you guys went out for dinner.
Yeah, we went in Teens La Brevière is a beautiful restaurant called La Sechette, which is the oldest restaurant in La Brevière. It was kind of opened in 1893. And yeah, you missed out on a good old night.
I was just laying in bed, dead.
We were like, do you want us to bring a bit of the bread basket back for you?
They were doing that thing where they were going, oh, we don't want to leave you. No, we don't want to leave you.
But all right, then, bye.
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm fine.
So see ya, goodbye.
Yeah, left me Netflix thing.
Really nice. And Lloyd and I shared a cheese fondue because we were absolutely desperate to have a cheese fondue in our lives. Rich was sort of in a bit of a bad mood because he'd fallen over a few times. Oh. So we ignored him. Yara and I shared some snails. Ugh. And it was just a really cosy restaurant and
there's
a really good night.
Being in like an alpine village, it's like a bubble, isn't it?
Yeah, you're tucked away.
You don't all of a sudden all of your worries, real world Brexit, yeah, you know, everything.
You live in a little bubble.
You're safe and sound, and that's what one aspect I absolutely love of skiing. One thing I loved about Teens was that kind of.
You press pause on the outside world, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we just sort of bumbled down in our jackets. It was snowing and we stopped and threw some snowballs at each other.
And I was sweating profusely alone in my bedroom.
And we left Laura alone.
The next morning dawned.
Laura wasn't well.
By this point, I was just, I think I was, spent the night hallucinating.
And I was starting to feel just...
Copying me.
No, I wasn't copying Laura, I wasn't copying you. You passed on your virus. Mm-hmm. You couldn't quite handle the fact that people were feeling unwell aside from you.
Or could you not handle the fact that I was getting all the attention?
You weren't getting any attention, no. Laura. So in the morning, it was such a shame. We were meant to ski, but both of us were just not feeling good by this point. So the boys went skiing sort of
They went over to Val d'Isère.
They went over to Val d'Isère. So that was meant to be our plan for the day.
And I know that they did have an amazing time.
They did.
I think they relaxed more and just went with the flow and just enjoyed skiing rather than feeling like I should be perfect or I should be doing
I had
this.
A bit of a pep talk with them all and I was like, just enjoy it. Stop being competitive.
I bet they listened to this thinking, Claire said nothing to me, nothing that I even remember of worth.
That's really harsh. Okay. Nothing of worth. They don't remember me saying anything of worth to them. That's really nasty.
So they went skiing and three and Anna, because Anna actually, Anna is a trooper. Anna actually had surgery on her shoulder a matter of weeks before going skiing. So she knew that she was coming on a ski trip that she would not be skiing on.
No, she just basically worked from the chalet.
Yeah, so we went into Teens with Anna that morning, which was, again, it was a beautiful morning, wasn't it? We saw all the horses and the ponies come past.
Yeah, popped into some shops. And
that was lovely.
For us, that was perfect, energy-wise.
And then Marianne picked us up, and we drove over to Val d'Isère so that we could go to the restaurant Panoramic.
We didn't drive over to Val d'Isère, though. So we went to Teens Val Claret, where you take this funicular through the mountain.
Oh yeah!
So it's crazy. It's like you go right. It goes.
So you can drive basically up to Teens Val Claret Park.
You can park and then
huge parking
bay. What is that a selling point? Absolutely huge car park.
Because you might wonder.
Yeah, and then we took the funicular up, which takes you to the top of the glacier of Grande Motte Glacier.
Or just Grand Mop. You've become Italian now.
I don't think it's called Grand Mop.
I don't think it's called a Grande Amate.
I reckon it's probably somewhere in between the two.
Yeah, so you park there. Anyway, you get on this.
It's basically I when I laugh so much, I feel lightheaded.
You get on the tube. It's basically being on the tube, isn't it, in London?
We've been recording this podcast for a really long time.
Except you're kind of accelerated, I'd say, at a 45-degree angle upwards.
Yeah, Lloyd and I were having to sort of look at each other and do a bit of a deep breath at times because it was like, yeah. Oh my God.
And then you shoot all the way up and you get out at the top and you're basically... How high is it, do you know?
Oh, I have written actually how high it was. It's like 3,032 metres above sea level.
So you are high.
Yeah.
And you get out and there's this, it's kind of like a haven or a sanctuary in the middle of all this snow.
Yeah, La Panoramic.
Amazing restaurant.
Honestly, probably the best restaurant I've ever been to in my entire life.
I know Claire and I are very, we loved it more than anything in our
lives.
This
is our favourite thing in the whole world.
But generally, this restaurant was, it was a special restaurant, wasn't it?
It was, and you know, it's absolutely renowned. Through Teens and Val d'Isère.
Yeah. So basically, you've got these incredible views up there.
Yeah.
But more than that, it's the ambiance. It's inside. So you go in. It's very rustic, is what I would call it.
Fires, but roaring everywhere.
Roaring fires, wood panelled walls covered in taxidermy and kind of heads of
fur throws everywhere.
And you get slippers. So when you arrive in, and obviously people are taking their boots off because
ski boots, you don't want to be having dinner in your ski boots.
And they give you these fluffy slippers. Which is so cute.
I wanted to steal them. I wasn't in ski boots, but I took my trainers off and put the slippers on.
Yeah, you did. And then it's all candlelit. And it's not just that the setting is lovely. The food is incredible.
It's out of this world.
So it's an open kitchen and they have this fire, basically an open fire, and that they cook all the meats on.
Yeah.
So you can watch it cooking, effectively.
Yeah, so I had like pork ribs, you had steak.
I had a steak. Some other people had like lamb. There was ribs as well.
Yeah, that's what I had. And then these sort of saucepans of the creamiest mashed potato. This is probably where we all got ill, actually, Laura.
Because we shared. Well, I did.
No, because we shared.
I did.
Because you thought that saucepan of mashed potato for five people was just your saucepan, and you were eating out of it with a spoon, weren't you?
Yeah. And I remember watching Lloyd looking at me and he laughed, but also I felt something else behind his expression.
Disgust. Hatred.
Because I thought that little saucepan was mine.
It wasn't.
And then I unfortunately watched as people passed it round.
It was all for all of us to share.
I felt terrible.
And one of the highlights of this restaurant is the St. Bernard dog igloo who lives there.
Yeah, he is the son.
He's the son of the owner.
He's the son of the owner. And he is, I mean, I have obviously watched Beethoven. I prepared myself for a big dog, but this dog was...
His head was like, his skull was as big as my torso.
So he just comes wandering around and he's like a celebrity. People are fawning all over him and wanting his attention.
And he just sort of melts like a little puddle of fur by a fire.
He's lovely. So you're sat in this amazing restaurant with the fires going... It's like a lovely kind of, I don't know, it's a nice feeling up there, isn't it?
Yeah, just to really, well, it was, again, it's very luxurious. And it is an expensive place to eat, I think.
It's expensive, but it also doesn't feel pretentious, does it?
No, not at all. Very rustic, and all the waiters, they wear like the traditional berets. Savoyard berets. And like lots of the male waiters had these crazy mustaches. Yeah.
Very
good looking men.
So that was great. And I think if you are in Teens, please, please go there.
Yeah.
Just for lunch or dinner, because it will be, you won't regret it, will you?
I've written a full blog post on this, so you can, I'll link it obviously in the description and everything.
So that finished, and the boys skied off.
Skied off, and the plan was to meet them in La Cocorico, which is an après ski bar in Val d'Isère.
I unfortunately could not join them by this point. I was on a different planet.
You were off. So it was just...
I was actually stripped down to just my brown knickers laying on a bed. Waiting to die, I think.
I was not feeling great, but I was really wanted to go to this bar because I had heard so much about it. So the Cocorico Bar, there's one in Val d'Isère, and they've just opened up a new one in Val Claret as well, at the foot of the glacier. And it's these crazy, obviously, après-ski, like everyone talks about après-ski when they go skiing. You know, you finish a day of skiing and you just go and drink and listen to music, which is much, much more sort of my type of thing than the skiing.
Yeah, so, I think most people go skiing for après ski.
Yeah, so it turned up and this live band were playing and we got ushered, we had a really cool kind of terrace area reserved for us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you missed out on all this. Down some shots, and then before we knew it, we were just, I'd say...
You said there was like flames in the air.
So yeah, the band were kind of playing like every song that I went to university, like, you know, Arctic Monkeys and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And they were like shooting flames into the air and we were dancing away. And
people dancing on the tables.
People don't get up on the tables and they're dancing. And it's just the best atmosphere. Like, such good camaraderie.
I think we were just like sort of thankful to be alive.
Yeah, and the snow was falling over us. It's outside. The snow was falling, like it was getting darker. The flames, yeah, were lighting up the sky, and it was just like the best experience.
Meanwhile, I was crawling across.
Meanwhile,
the floor.
Laura was naked in a chalet, just hallucinating.
That was sick.
But we had a brilliant time. Laura threw up, but yeah, we had a brilliant time. So we went to La Cocorico. And made our way back and had to sober up very fast because it was our final dinner.
Yeah, and what a dinner it was.
Yeah, so again, this got turned into Rich's birthday dinner.
Yeah,
you know, we would have had it, Rich.
It was Laura's get better dinner.
We would have had it anyway.
Yeah.
And the cake would have just been for someone else.
Yeah, it was a 5-course tasting menu, Japanese tasting menu. Yeah. And it was just so nicely done. So when we sat down, we had these personalised menus on our plates.
Yeah, a little bit, just like a restaurant.
Yeah, that folded out beautifully.
Started with some champagne.
Yeah, Alexia had what felt like about 15 different types of bottles of wine or champagne to give us.
So I'm just remembering a story that I need to tell you about this now. So by this point, I was feeling really unwell. But Laura had perked right up and she had taken Rich down, and he said yesterday...
He hated me.
No, he didn't. When
did I do something?
No. When he went,
is
to,
this about me?
No, it's not about you. Oh. That night he went to have a bath to try and sort of warm up and feel a bit better. And he said, like, when it was time to get out of the bath, he like had to crawl out of the bath and just lay naked on the bathroom tiles.
Like Gollum.
And it was such a shame because it was such an incredible dinner, a tasting
it
dinner.
I mean, it was beautiful. And the chef came up and kind of said hello, but it was just some of the best Japanese food and sushi and sashimi that I've ever had.
Fortunately, I didn't eat any of it.
Oh, it was so nice. It was Laura, such a treat as
Laura
well.
Laura had passed on the plague. But it really, I've never had a catered chalet experience. And I, you know, when I thought of it, I still thought it might just be, you know, a little bit of a baguette or something. But this was like high-end food in the comfort of your own chalet. And, you know, thank God it was in our chalet because we were feeling so ill by that point. We never even made it out.
No, it was...
So it was amazing.
And it was a really nice night. And then they brought out, they're so sweet, they made a cake for Rich, brought it up, and they lit all the
blew
candles.
It out. Didn't look particularly happy about it.
He blew it out and no one ate it because it had his germs on it.
then we went to bed.
It was a lovely thought, and they went to bed. And then, yeah, the next morning we basically had to take our transfer back to Geneva.
Yeah,
we flew home.
It's a really cool company called Skiddy Gonzales, which specialise in picking you up from Geneva and taking you to the tea and resort. So
okay.
Yeah, really, really good. Really good service.
Yeah, we were there. I mean, only took about 2.5. Quick stop at McDonald's.
Had a McDonald's to try and feel a bit better. Went home and then spent the rest of the next week in bed. Thank you, Laura.
It's okay.
Yeah, but despite the illness... Still a brilliant trip.
Yeah.
So grateful that Anna organised it.
Yeah,
so it was. Grateful to experience skiing again, but also ski in a, you know, a ridiculously high-end place.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
But I think if you are thinking about going skiing, and like the resorts of Chamonix are great, etc., but there's something about teens that's more personal, more intimate, and I think ultimately more friendly, that made me feel a bit more confident.
Yeah, we'll definitely Le Brevier.
Yeah,
if you're looking for like party stuff and being really busy, you obviously go and stay in Alac.
Yeah, but that's nice though that you can actually move amongst the 5 villages.
Yeah, easy.
And you can drive between them. I mean, Marion drove us around, didn't she?
Yeah, a lovely Marion. Yeah.
So yeah, that was January. And
what?
Well, I was going to say about what our next trips are. Really.
Okay. Yeah, so our next trip is to Morocco on the 9th of March, which is actually our first ever Twins at Travel tour.
Yeah, with 3 other sets of twins.
It's been a bit of a marketing mix-up.
Yeah, so we've got some more identical twins, and we'll be going to Morocco.
Yeah, so we want to do a few more podcasts before then, though. We've got a few topic ideas.
Yeah, and I think then we get our headphones next week, which will make us feel like pros. So.
Yeah, let's do a podcast next week.
I have to go now because I have to go home for dinner, Claire.
Yeah, it's like 25 to 7.
I'm going to be late for dinner.
What happens when you start working at 5 p.m.
So anyway, I recognise that this is quite a long podcast. I'm quite drivelly. But hopefully it's kind of filled you in what we were doing in January.
And from the Caribbean to the French Alps.
And to Milton Keynes.
And back to Milton Keynes again.
Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for listening.
And we will be back quite soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. 1, 2.